We have been talking about the rest of the Lord and what it's going to take for us to enter into this rest. And we have been going systematically, little by little in this, that we were traveling down this highway, the vehicle of this highway that we move in, and in the kingdom is faith. And we found out that our faith is pretty well messed up. The things that we call faith isn't faith. And so we need correction. We need others to help us build our faith and move forward. Miss Karen, can you see this? Are you good? Because I can do it this way. Can you see that? If not, I'd ask you to move. Over a year! Today I'm going to conclude in teaching about God's love. And 2 weeks ago we talked about one of the greatest symptoms of devastation that is happening within our midst in Western society, and especially in Western culture, is what is epidemic? Loneliness. And I gave the stats about how that is affecting individuals, how it's affecting our families, how it's affecting our kids and teenagers and all. And so loneliness, the more gadgets we have, the lonelier we become, because we're looking at these gadgets as a means in which to bring satisfaction to us. But the truth of the matter is it continues to isolate us. And I was sitting with a friend of mine several months ago, and I was watching these two young people talk to each other. Ha ha. Oh, what's going? That's not talking! I felt like going over there and grabbing their phones and throwing it against the wall. Because I saw the iPhones where they threw it. It's called the blade, and it's stuck into the wall. I wanted to see if that would happen. But, you know, meek-mannered, mild pastor would not do that, but I was shocked in seeing that. Last week we talked about the three aspects of God's love. We talked about justice, truth, and grace. And His love flows through all three of these. And we said that we don't understand God's love because why? Ed. Yeah. But I said because of the translation from the original language to English, we lose something. And because we lose it, we have an improper understanding. And I took a scripture out of Psalms, and I showed how the three words that were describing these aspects of God's love were all together. And because we segregate them, and we don't put them together, we think that that's not God's love, but in reality, it is God's love. And so today what I want to do is conclude this teaching, and it's about God's love, and it's the spiritual maturity. If we are going to impact our community for Jesus Christ, this is imperative that we have understanding. And I gave the example that my understanding of God's love, I flowed out of the justice and truth aspect of it. And we found out that grace, I wasn't very graceful or compassionate towards people because I had a legalistic mindset. So I had to allow the Holy Spirit to change me in understanding so that compassion, grace, which was an area that I felt was weakness, actually is the strength that God has put into me. And so now I'm learning to flow in compassion. I don't get upset about the justice and the truth. We just have to understand that as these things happen, we need to know what area that we flow in the strongest, and the areas that we don't flow strongest, those are the areas of our strengths. The world says that where we're weak, they take advantage of it. But the Bible says, when I am weak, He is then strong. And so we need to begin to understand and have our thinking changed, that our weaknesses really are our strengths. And when we begin to implement them for the kingdom of God, things happen. And so understanding this is really imperative for us. I also tried to get us to understand a little bit about the strategy of Satan. We may not have really understood that I was trying to communicate that. But basically what is happening is that Satan wants us to be afraid of each other so we don't exhibit the love of God to each other. And thereby, we have a breakdown of our families. We have a breakdown of ourselves individually. We have a breakdown in society because we're afraid. But God made us creatures that were supposed to be community. We're supposed to be social beings. God said it's not good that man be alone. So if we find ourselves isolated, it's not a good place. It really isn't. And I don't care what the examples of the Old Testament prophets where they hung out by themselves. It is not a good place because we can't experience the love of God in our lives. And we're not allowing someone to be a blessing to us because we have a misconception as to how these things happen in our lives. If I am not receptive to someone buying me lunch, how am I going to allow that blessing to come upon me? No, I got lunch at home. Word. God takes care of me. But the issue here is, and I'm using this in a fun way, is if I am afraid to allow somebody into my life, and generally what happens is when we are breaking bread, that's a time where we can get to know each other. You know, we can actually get past the superficial stuff and we can really get to the heart matters that are going on. And if we don't share those things, we cannot minister the love of God in those areas that people need because I'm afraid. And thereby, if I'm afraid of you, I become lonely. And that's what's happened. You just go through our developments and see how many privacy fences there are. When I grew up, we didn't have fences. And if they were, we climbed over them. No stopping us now. But look at our society and see what I'm saying is not true. In an old fellowship that Dan and Nolan and myself were part of, they built a privacy fence that's 9 feet tall. And it's gated around a church building. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Now, what are you afraid of? They're going to steal your stuff? Well, they already stole our stuff. That's it. It's a free-for-all, you know? If you want that, you'll have to cut the cage out. But really, you know, what I'm saying here is we need to have a biblical mindset. And when we don't create this biblical mindset in understanding what God wants, and I've done it for myself. I'm an avid reader. My favorite author is Watchman Nee. And I read his stuff. And I'll tell you what, sometimes, and Nolan's read some of the easier books. And he just hands them back. He says, this is too deep for me. You have. Spurgeon, he's chump change. But what I've done there is I've put myself in a position to understand an Oriental mindset, which is more biblical than our Western mindsets. And God wants us to be biblically minded so that when we release this love of God into the lives of people's, into the lives of other people, we actually touch their hearts because in us is life. And some of the things that we take for granted, we need to really stop and really start thinking, really, how proactive is the love of God in my life? And what am I doing to die to allow that life to come out of me? And part of it is because We misread opportunities, and those opportunities, they always come at the most inopportune times. Somebody calls when you're just ready to go to bed, or they need a ride, or the tree falls down, or whatever, you know. Of course, they didn't call, so that was praise God. Wasn't that? I mean, that was great. And because of it, he's going to be a recipient of a limb. It probably weighs about 800 pounds. Word up, and we can come over and roast marshmallows and make s'mores. And but we have to understand that God's justice flows in his compassion. Write that down. His justice flows with compassion. He doesn't give us what we really do deserve. He gave us Jesus. We have to also understand that his truth proves his faithfulness to us. We can take everything that he says in here as absolute. There's nothing too difficult for God. And if he says we can do it and we believe it, we can do it. Amen? And so his grace basically talks about the relationship of acceptance. There's nothing we can do to earn this. God accepts us for who we are, but he doesn't leave us there. He wants to change us. And this is the last aspect I want us to consider in this scripture. So if you would go turn to 1 John 4:8. This is the epistle, John. I want us to go into a little deeper understanding as to what this really means and really what it looks like. The scripture says, He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And we talked about God as love, and we described all this, but I want us to focus on two words, know and love. Now this word know is not a word that we know him in our minds. Okay? It carries on a deeper understanding. If we do not know God, we don't love. That would be original, right? This word means know as intimate, like a husband and wife relationship. If I know my wife, there are certain things I know that I can do and can't do because I want to bless her or not bless her. But the intimacy of that relationship is she knows my heart and I know her heart. And Jesus said, you know, when two marry, let no man put it asunder, that the two shall become one. And after 40 years, we're pretty much blending our lives together, where we know ourselves in this relationship. We know ourselves intimately. But here John is telling us that not only a person who does not love does not know God, never knew God. There's no intimate relationship. You see, you can't say that you're born again and you don't love, but you love God and hate your brother. You can't, it just doesn't exist that way. To love God is to love your brother. Because God came from heaven. He took on flesh. And we call that what? We call that Jesus. But Jesus was referred to as God incarnate. Right? God took on flesh. And this is why many people today cannot understand our God. They can't conceive him coming and living and walking upon this planet in human flesh. Just before he was taken up, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus said, Philip, how long have I been with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God incarnate was revealing to us fallen man, not only our sinful condition, but he was revealing to us exactly what God's heart is. And if you look through all the scriptures and you look at the examples, Paul is exhorting us, and John is exhorting us here, that God incarnate is amongst us. He dwells in us. We are God incarnate, if you can wrap your mind around this and understand that he's now taken on your flesh and my flesh. But does the world see the Father? Does the world see the Father through you and through me? And I'm not asking you to, but it's something to ponder. Does your actions, does your words, does your behavior reflect God the Father? The fullness of the Godhead now dwells where? In me. In you. In the body. Okay? Jesus said, greater works will you do because I go to the Father. If he goes to the Father and he sent his Spirit, do you have his Spirit? And be careful, if you say yes, you're condemning yourself. Because does your behavior, does your speech, does your actions reflect the Father? Because everything that we say, everything we do, has to reflect the Father, his heart. Are we obedient to what God tells us to do? Sean, I need you to go and talk to that person over here in aisle 6. But Pastor, Holy Spirit is telling me to do that, but I got all this other stuff to do. Was Jesus obedient to the Father's will? Even unto death. He was at the garden, and he said, not my will, your will be done. If I love God, I can't pick and choose what part of the thing that God's telling me to do, because you see, he has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. This plan has to work together in order for the will of God to be manifested, so that one day when he returns, they will see him as he is, but they will see him, the Father, through the church. Okay? Let's take a look at this. We know that God's nature is triune. We know that God is triune. He's Father, he's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. We know his nature is triune, in that God is Spirit, John 4:24. This describes who his very essence is. Are you Spirit? You are supernatural beings, born again in the likeness of Jesus Christ. That is your essence, because that's who you are. You are part of his body. He's the head, we're part of the body. If any of us are functioning outside the body, or outside the realm or the rules that the body is to function, what do we call that in medical terms? We call it cancer. Right? They are cells that do their own thing at the expense of the body. And you have two choices. Treat it and get it out of your body, or let it take its place and kill you. Right? Anything that is not of God's will kill you. Because if you know God intimately, what he will do is destroy the cancer that is in the body. There's nothing that can take that place. We know that God is light. 1 John 1:5. It describes his holy nature. Are you holy? Do you live holy? Well, I don't know what that means, Pastor. Well, I'm glad you asked. Holy means a wholesome life. Are you doing everything to bring honor and glory to God? He loves you as you are, but He is not going to leave you at that spot. He accepts you, but He wants to change you. He wants to change you into the likeness of Jesus Christ, because God dwells in my flesh. They don't want to see Sharon. They don't want to see Rashima. They don't want to see Ed. They want to see Jesus. Is Jesus real in my life so that I can show and reveal the Father to them? Reveal His heart to them. Okay? God is love, 1 John 4:8, describes all that He is and all that He does. His motivation for us is out of a heart of love. He doesn't do anything to punish us. He doesn't take things away from us when we have a temper tantrum. He doesn't do that. He will allow the enemy to do it. Read Job and see what happens here. But our Father is so good. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? From heaven. From our Father who is in heaven. Every good and perfect gift. So the question is, do you have the Father's nature? Do you have His DNA? Do you have His spirit? Do you have His intentions for our fellow man at heart? You see, it goes much deeper than just professing to be a Christian. And this is cutting me, even as I'm saying, because I know I haven't arrived. So when you're hearing this for the first time, I'm hearing it. I've been hearing it all week. I've been hearing it for the last 3 weeks. And all I want is, God, I know You accept me, but You're changing me. I know that Your word is true. Faithful is He who calls you, who will also do it. We fight not to change. We need to surrender and allow the change to happen. And He has tremendous compassion for us. He knows us better than we do ourselves. And yet we resist what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. And what happens is, especially in this country, we have a demonic influence upon our government, a demonic influence upon the church of Jesus Christ, so that when I talk about these things, we sit back and we think that, well, they're nice things to say. You have to understand, when we signed up for Jesus, we signed up for war. You're either getting beat around or you're looking for ways to defeat the enemy. And part of defeating the enemy is allowing God to move upon our hearts, to change, become like Christ, and then, as I said, His love flows out. He didn't leave us. He went looking for us. We were not looking for Him. Isn't that what Scripture says? He first knew us and loved us before we loved Him. If you are not changing, you have no relationship with Him. That is not His fault. That's our fault. And that's why you hear me from time to time say to you, I sit down next to you, and it really gets Jen a little upset sometimes when I sit down. Hey, what's God saying to you? Because He's saying something to me. And I want to know what He's saying to you. And we've talked. And it's a little uncomfortable at first, but you're used to it now. It's cool. Let's go, girl. Yeah. My heart is to exhibit the Father. I want to be your best shepherd I possibly can. That's my heart. And that means that I need to surrender even more. And it takes time. Dying on a cross, He didn't die all at one shot. It took time for Him to die. It's going to take time for you to die too. And God is not going to give you more than you're able to cope with. It will feel like it, but it is not. We have to understand that the world says that love is God. That is a improper understanding of God. God is love. Love cannot define God. God defines love for us. He is the epitome of love. He is the definition of love. And if you know Him, what I am saying to you is starting to burn in your heart. You know it's true. God's love is always pure. God's love is always wholesome. God's love is always perfect. He has our best intentions at heart. And we squeal like little infants, brand new babies, when He puts us in a discomfort zone. We do, don't we? When was the last time somebody called and asked you for a favor, and how did you respond? Did you respond? No problem. I'll finish what I'm doing. Give me 5 minutes to finish what I'm doing, and I'll handle it. Or did you say, oh, man, this is not a good time? Nolan was out there with his minivan. Snowing like nobody's business out here in the front. Pastor, can you give me a jump? Yeah, no problem. You want me to take the kids home first? No, we just need to get a jump. Okay, no problem. I followed him all the way home. Make sure that he got home. Why? Because I love him, I love his family. And it's showing the love of God. He doesn't do it and then just let us do our thing. He does it and follows with us. And then he gets all excited when we get it. And then he says, now I'm going to give you something else. And we get to do this. We get to do this with Dad. But we have this attitude, oh man, not again. You're going to be tested this week. You're going to be tested this week. To see where you are in exhibiting the Father's. Remind yourself, God dwells in me. I am now God incarnate. It is my responsibility, say this, it is my responsibility to reveal the heart, the intentions, and purity of my Father, God. God. Okay, I'm going to make sure your daddy's my daddy. Who's your daddy? We have to understand that God has a tremendous love for His creation. And He has given us such a plan that He wants to fulfill His plan through His church. Jesus fulfilled His plan, or the Father's will, and then stayed with us, right? He hung out with us, right? Check your scriptures. He did. He hung out with us for another 40 days afterwards. He did. And He shared with them exactly what I'm sharing with you, to reveal to them that the kingdom of God, the King of heaven and earth, dwells in us now. All His majesty, all His power, all His glory dwells in us. The stone has been rolled away. He has taken that stony heart and He has given us a heart of flesh. Soft and tender. But we want that stony heart. We need to let the Holy Spirit roll that stony heart away. We really need, you know, look at how many empty chairs are here. They're not going to be empty for long. Because when you get this, and you're convicted by the Holy Spirit that you can love somebody, they don't deserve to be loved. They don't deserve anything because their actions and behaviors are ungodly. We love them because we're trying to reveal the Father to them. They are far away from God. It is our responsibility, God incarnate, to reveal the Father to them. Reveal the Father's heart. And I encourage you to read stories like Nicky Cruz, Cross and Switchblade, where his ministry was to gangs in the New York City area. You can read about some of the pastors who have gone out and smuggled Bibles into the Iron Curtain countries at great sacrifice to themselves. Or those who are involved in the abortion issue. And that has not stopped. I'm not a person that's into causes. I'm into the cause. The cause of Jesus Christ is to take this world and make it His kingdom. Revelation says, and now the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. You see, are we doing all we can to reveal the Father's heart? And I'm convicted. I'm not. There is more. I was thinking about Schindler's List the other day, where Albert Schindler was saying at the end of the war, he could have sold his car to help more people. He could have sold a watch. He could have done this. Because people are what is important. What can you do to love somebody into the kingdom? And I dare you, ask God what it is and who it is that He wants you to love them into the kingdom. Because He died for the world. He didn't just die for you and die for me and then that's it. He died so that these seats would be filled. And understand, this is temporary. We're going to fill the sanctuary that's out there. And the vision that God has given to us is to take this town, work with the other churches, do plants in other places, be involved in missions, be involved in things that will help people to further advance the kingdom. Be involved in politics. Be involved in the military. Go up against the wickedness that is propagating itself today. Stand against homosexuality. Stand against the abortion issues. Stand against immorality. Because that's not the Father's heart. The Father's heart is to keep us from self-destructing. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He hates us. And every time he sees us, we are created in God's image. Inside and out. That's why I say to Irene, I tell her this at least once a week. She is beautiful to me inside and out. And I mean that with my whole heart. I observe her and what she does. And I just thank God for her. And God says, that's your helpmate that I gave you. I don't want you to be like her. I want you to be like me. See, she's got a job. I have a job. My job is to train you up, to release you to love this world. Start loving yourself. Start there. You are important to God. He loves you. He saved you. And now He wants to change you. He wants you to understand that all the power that created heaven and earth and this galaxy and this universe now is contained in you. Your families are important. But if you don't love your family, who's going to love them? Your church. Do you love your church? Come on, Shane, tell me. But see, Streams is only one small part of the church. And we need not be afraid of what God does in other fellowships. We're not in competition with them. What is happening with Streams right now is we are transitioning into a more mature level. And that's why I say we can no longer stay. When we were flopping around, Steve, you were part of the beginning, and we were in a Republican hall, and then we went to piggyback off a couple churches, and then we were a house church. They were great things, and we learned a lot of stuff. But now we are a public place of worship. And God is showing me that all that stuff we did were great, and we learned from those things, but He has something greater for me to learn and for extremes to learn and also to fulfill. Only you can fulfill the call of God in your life. As much as I would love to, I can't. I have my own call. I can help you. I can encourage you. I can pray for you. And I do all those things. But only you can put out forest fires. You see, you have to start burning up the junk that's out there keeping you from people. You have to forgive people so that nothing sticks to you. Bible says, do not take up an offense. That is a motivation of the will. You either pick it up or you don't pick it up. I tell you, don't pick it up. Because once you pick it up, that becomes an accessory to you. And we're told to cast off that sin that so easily besets you. Do you love God? I truly do believe you love God. I really do. But if you can wrap your mind around His heart and wrap your mind around that you personally are God incarnate. Our church together is God incarnate. When people come and visit, do we show joy and happiness and are glad to see them? Or are we, what are they here for? God welcomes us. He shows us in the prodigal that He welcomed His prodigal child. And He ran to him and wrapped His arms around him and hugged him and kissed him and restored to him everything that was his that he was squandering, his son was squandering. Do you see what an honor and a privilege it is that our Father gives to us? That we can go and help someone be restored to this relationship to Jesus Christ by just revealing His heart to him. Don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. Because if you show me you love me, you'll show me the Father's heart. And that's what I'm after. I'm after you revealing the Father's heart to me, to one another, to the ends of the earth. Some of you are already being spoken to about missions next year. Praise God. Your heart is tender to that. But we have to understand that we're responding to God's heart. I've been to the mission field. Irene has no desire to the mission field. She has a desire to keep sending me. Which God is speaking to me about some things about going to the mission field again. We need to understand that when Scripture tells us to protect our heart diligently, Proverbs 4:27, because out of it flow the issues of life. Does what flows out of your heart, and I know some people are hard to love. I was hard to love. But I responded to the Father. And some of you know that, you know, I rolled my car down an embankment and almost killed my family, but I responded to God's love. You may not say, well, how's that God's love? When I went to pick up our personal belongings, the guy who took our car said, how many people died in that? I said, no one. No one died. And he goes, how's that possible? Because my car was crushed, compacted. We should all been killed. But God. And I responded to His goodness because I realized that He could have taken me out and I could have gone to hell. But He gave me a second chance. He gave me a third chance. He keeps giving us chances to get it right. He doesn't give up on us. And I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not. I may be a thorn in your side. I may be a pain in the butt. I may even lose a shoe. But understand, I want you to really understand the Father's heart. I want to reveal the Father's heart to you. I want to tell you a story. And then we'll finish. This story is about a thief who went into a hospital and he stole a large quantity of radioactive material. The administrators found out. They called the police. And when the police arrived, the first thing out of the administrator's heart was, please put on television and the medias and stuff and let this thief know that the material that they have is very dangerous to them and will affect them, and it cannot be hidden. The material that you have in announcing that you are a child of God is very dangerous, and it cannot be hidden. That material is love. If you love God and you name God as your child, it changes you. It affects you. You cannot be the same. The first time I called on Jesus Christ, I said, yes, Lord. And I didn't know what that meant. And here I am 30 years later. I'm a shepherd. I'm humbled by God saying that He's found me to be faithful in something. And I'm learning to love people more and more. It's not easy because I have to kill this old nature that's in me. But it's worth it. You're worth it. Not because God tells me that you're worth it, but because I see God in you, the hope of glory. I see it. You may not see it. You may not even believe that there's glory all around you. But there is. And when you guys come and assemble, that glory expands. It's more and more. It's like one candle, you put another candle, and it begins to illuminate the whole area. To argue about whether you're a son of the Most High or not, a daughter of the Most High or not, to me is immaterial, because your argument actually answers what you're espousing. Because if there's no change, are you a son of the Most High? Are you a daughter? Sons of this house, the house of streams, are learning this. And part of the way that they learn this is they honor God. And they do the things that God has asked them to do. The daughters of this house do things to honor. And I'm not just saying honor Irene and me, but they do. They do honor. They sacrifice and they do things. And you guys affectionately call me Pop and all that stuff. And I receive it. But I'm still looking for the Father's heart. All of us have come through a life that our fathers were wicked and evil. They didn't know what they were doing to us. But I'm here to tell you, our Father is not wicked. He is not evil. There is no good thing that He withholds from them who love Him. Nothing. The only reason why blessings don't come upon your life is because you're stopping it, not God. If you want the fullness of God's blessings to come upon your life, accept who you are. You have to accept who you are. God accepts you. You need to accept yourself. You need to forgive yourself. Because only with forgiveness will God begin to tenderize your heart. Unforgiveness is that stone that pulls upon our hearts and keeps us from being tangible and real with each other. God loved us and demonstrated by one simple act, by going to the cross and dying for us. And somehow we think that staying at the cross is the answer. That's the starting point of your life. And every time we get convicted of something, we need to look back at the cross and see that it's there, and confess that it's there, and move forward. If you're still at the cross, you have no future, because you're only living for yourself now. If you see the cross, you don't see him on there. He's walking with us, encouraging us to get past the cross. The cross is important. Believe me, it is important. We die daily. But for us to love them out there, we have to get past the cross. We have to forgive people. We have to forgive ourselves. We've all messed up. And we're still messed up. Some of us got a couple things together, and we're trying to help the rest of everybody. When you're able to forgive yourself and forgive those who's mistreated you, that is only the beginning of revealing the Father's heart, because now you can see how much God loves you. The challenge is, will you accept the call that God has for your life? Because every call, my call to be a pastor, is not a high and lofty call. The world will say it is, but God sees it as common. Because he knows that we have need of others to help teach us and bring us to a place. You know what the high call of God is? Just doing his will. Doing it. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. Stand with me, please. Father, we come before you humble. Humbled, God, by the enormity of your love for us. Change us, God. Take us to the next level to love you deeper. And in loving you deeper, God, we can love people better. If we can experience your love, God, and come here and unashamedly and unabashed, God, praise you and honor you and thank you for everything, the good things, the bad things, the poverty, the rich things, God, whatever it is that you have put into our lives, God, and we love you supremely above that, because we are not going to take this with us, God. They are but instruments and tools to further your kingdom. God, I thank you for your people. I thank you, God, that you found us worthy. I thank you, God. Holy Spirit, blow away that stone and shatter it once and for all. That your heart of flesh would come out of us, God, to reach a world, to reach a nation, to reach a family, to reach an individual. Because that's who you died for. God, as we go forth today, change us. Help us to build these relationships, God, that are built upon your truth, your grace, and your justice. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.